When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
He could play guitar just like a ringing a bell. Go, Charles, go. That would be one Chuck Berry, baby. Out with the big band orchestras and in with this new sound. It's like rock and roll Beethoven we're about to do on Dim Vinyl Boys this week. What's up? It's Gentry. I got DJ Ramo G in the house.
What's up, my man? How you doing?
We've got Memphis. What's up? And his awesomeness, my
What's
man.
What's happening?
And, of course, DJ Tomcat is behind the tables.
Ready to rock.
Let's go. Man, this guy, I don't know if there's enough time to tell the entire story of Chuck Berry, but man, this guy's lived some kind of life. He lived to 90 years old. He really invented, he was like the conduit between blues and rock and roll.
Most definitely.
You could say he created rock and roll almost, and we'll get into all that. We've decided to do an album from 1959, released in the summer of 1959. And it was on Chess Records. Leonard Chess ran Chess Records out of Chicago. And he released this album in 1959. We don't have the original piece of vinyl. I wasn't willing to spend that much money here on the show. But I did get the 1987 reprint.
Cool.
Plus, it will be nice and clean. And not only clean because we have a nice copy of it from 1987, but because we got new needles on the turntable.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
New need.
Ready to carve it up the father of rock and roll.
Yeah, I would even say he's the godfather of rock and roll, maybe. Like, is that a step higher? He's a step higher than the father of rock and roll.
The godfather.
I don't know, man.
He's at the very top.
He's just the shit. That's all I can take.
All right, let's get into it. Go ahead and drop the needle on it. I want to hear it.
Brand new spanking.
He wrote the songs, played the songs. We're trying to hear the songs. DJ Tomcat, of course, in charge of the turntable.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I'm almost grown.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, and I'm doing all right in school.
Nine.
They ain't said I broke no rules.
Nine and then.
Yeah. Ain't never been in Dutch.
And the title of this one is
almost
what?
Almost grown.
Almost grown.
The first song to kick off the album, Chuck Berry is on top. And the album cover has like a sundae, a bunch of ice cream, some bunch of strawberries on top. That would be the berry on top.
Get it?
Well, the story about Chuck Berry, when he first started performing, he put an N at the very end of his name. So it was like Chuck Berryan, which... He did that because his father was a preacher man. And, you know, he was playing the devil's music.
Oh, his dad didn't like it?
Yeah, nah, that wasn't a thing back in the day. You were going to hell.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was going to hell for everything.
That's true. Yeah. Because we still are.
But now we see it as like a gift, you know. You'd think you'd see it. You could rock out on the guitar. You'd be like, wow, he's feeling the spirit. No? Nope.
Well, it didn't take long. I guess the story goes, at the beginning, these are his first few shows playing the guitar. His dad was just happy that he wasn't in trouble because he had gotten into some trouble. They had a trip out to Hollywood, him and three of his buddies, and they ended up doing a dine and dash, which I got to admit, I've done that. I hate to admit that I have dined and dashed, but when I was a young teenager, you get an adrenaline rush out of it. You go to Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you and your buddies get up and you bail
so
on the bill.
He got in trouble, and they sent him to live with his auntie and his uncle in Bel Air?
Nope.
No. That was good.
He got into some real trouble, I guess, on the way back, though. Ooh. They went to Hollywood. They robbed a couple places. And then on their way back, they had car trouble. And a guy pulls up to help Charles Berry. And they intimidate the guy, and they end up stealing his car and push their own car. Ends up having to do some jail time. Then when he got out of jail, to keep himself out of trouble, he just practiced that guitar. Played the guitar all the time.
Sure.
And his dad was just happy at the time that he wasn't in jail. So that's when I go back to the original story of he had playing the devil's music. His dad eventually accepted it and was like, you know what? You're pretty good and you make people pretty happy playing that guitar and singing your songs. So the church accepted him.
So that's great. This is a redemption story. I love it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And so Chuck Berry didn't have to, you know, he didn't have to steal to get the bag anymore. He could play his guitar and write songs and make music. When I started reading about this guy, I could see why he's an angry man. He grew up in a time where, you know, they didn't treat people with his color right, for sure. Lynchings. I mean, this guy had a chip on his shoulder.
I would have probably too.
I think anybody would.
Mm-hmm. But everybody loved him. Everybody that the British invasion, the way I read the story is the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, they learned how to play rock and roll from this guy right here, Chuck Berry.
Great person to learn from.
Yeah. And he's been covered by like everybody.
Oh yeah.
He's rocking the guitar right there. This song's called Carol. It's about a boy who must learn to dance or risk losing Carol to other men.
You know what that means, don't you?
You gotta learn how to dance.
Yeah. You gotta learn how to dance.
Do you love me? Do you love me? Now, if you wanna hear some music like the boys are playing. That is true, though. Ladies want a guy who can dance.
Oh, he did that duck walk. You know that famous move?
The duck walk. Yeah. Now, explain to me exactly. This is when you make one leg go dead and you drag it.
Yeah, one leg is kind of dead and hops. So if you're right foot like me, you'd be on your right foot, but your left foot kicks out and kind of as you pop, it kicks. You see Michael J. Fox. Maybe you're more familiar with his moves than seeing Chuck Berry.
Sure.
In the movie, Michael J. Fox does the move. They call it the duck hop, where he has the guitar and he gets down almost to the ground with his butt and he just like kicks his foot and you can see it if you go see any Chuck Berry footage.
I see him in the position right here. It's a paused video, but I can tell he's about to do it in this video that's paused right here of the song.
They call it the duck walk.
He was probably doing it all the way to his 80s, too.
Oh, yeah, where he lived to be 90.
He would do it sometimes. Like, we would go see him at Blueberry Hill, and occasionally he'd do it, but he wouldn't do it, like, all the time. But he'd just still rock out, though. It was great. So I can say that I actually got a chance to see him, like, 4 times, I think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there was a lot of dancing going on. Did you dance?
Nah, we just partied. But it was dancing there for sure, because Blueberry Hill is not like, it's not a big spot, but it's like a really intimate spot. It's really neat. And you just go in there and you can dance, you can do whatever. You know, you're just chilling, you know?
So this song is one that they talk about quite a bit in referencing this album, Maybelline.
Maybelline.
Yep, this was the first single. I do have a story behind this song. This is when Charles Berry, he went to meet Leon Chess, who was the owner of Chess Records. He played a song on a recorder. he wouldn't play his guitar because he said he was a little embarrassed or like anxious to play a guitar in front of strangers, is what Chuck says. But he plays this old song called, I think, Ida Mae. It's like a country song, and plays it as like a demo for this record label guy. And the guy's like, you know what, kid? I like what you're doing. He's like, but that song you're playing, it just doesn't have good lyrics. You need to go and you need to write some lyrics, Charles, about what the kids are into. Go write a song for me. Come back in a week and play it for me. Same beat, because this is the same beat to this Ida Mae song that he played for him. But change the words. It's got to be new. It's got to be hip. So he wrote this song. Maybelline went back there a week later, said he recorded 4 songs in 6 hours
nice.
At Chess Records. And after he recorded them, old Leon, who ran Chess Records, signed him to a contract.
There you go.
In Chicago. And Maybelline is the song that kicked it all off for him.
See, it's nice that he took the instruction, the executive production from that guy, and went ahead and made the changes and came back and took off. Sometimes people would be like, I'm not going to do that. It's my stuff. And then go home and then nothing ever happens.
Yeah. True.
That's one of the things I don't think that Chuck Berry, he got credit for it back in the day, but people in our generation, they don't really give him the credit. He wrote so many great songs that other artists would perform. Like the Beatles made some of his songs popular.
The Stones made other songs popular
that he wrote. Elvis, same way. They were all taking his lyrics.
AC/DC.
His moves. Yep.
Like it wasn't just one area. It was like people from all different genres were taking his songs and remaking them.
And that's what made us want to come and listen to this album, because all the people who other people were referencing this album.
Yeah.
Well, what we've been doing, I think, on this show is we're digging. You know, we grew up, most of us, late 70s, 80s as young children, 90s teenagers, and so forth. Well, our parents were into the Stones and the Beatles and these types of bands. I don't know about you guys.
Yes,
those were the bands my parents were into. What about you, Ray?
My parents were more into like Motown.
All right, and we did the Temptations last week in the 60s.
Yep.
This is even before the Temptations.
Right. This is
what about you, Memphis? What did your parents, what were they playing in the house when you were growing up?
Some Motown, but it was more like Stax records, you know, Al Green's, you know, had the blues. We had a little bit of everything in the house.
Well, we listened to a lot of Spanish music too. Yeah. You know, my dad was from the island, so, you know.
Well, we grew up with our parents, me, liking a lot of rock and roll. And then you find out that these legendary rockers like the Beatles and the Stones, who are credited with the British invasion and bringing rock and roll to America, it's like, well, rock and roll was already in America.
Sure.
With Chuck Berry. And I think he took that a little personal from the videos I've watched. He played a trick on Joe, the guitar player for Aerosmith. I think his name's Joe Perry.
Joe Perry.
Pretty sure. Joe Perry's playing some event with him at the Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like asking them all to play. And so he asked, well, what key are we going to play in? And they were like, I don't know. No, nobody would tell him. And he's like, well, I guess they're just seeing if I can pick up on what key they're playing. And he said it was a bad performance because Chuck was changing the keys on him all the time just to like mess with him. Like, and then at the end of the show, Joe's like, hey, man, what key were we playing in? He's like, we were playing in the Chuck key, which means I'm going to play in whatever key I want to. And it was really like a dig. And Chuck even admitted it. It's like, hey, these guys thought they would come over and take rock and roll from me. And then you look at some of the racism and the way that he was pushed down. I could see where you would get that chip on your shoulder. These Elvis is getting all the big shows in the movies. People are looking at the Stones and the Beatles. Yet they credit me for what they do. But I can't get where they are. I can see where you get it.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
A lot of artists said that back in the day. Ray Charles, Little Richard, particularly Little Richard, because he was very open about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of artists were, you know, they had these white artists will get just blown up off of like our music. And it's like, what the fuck? You know? So I'm glad Chuck Berry did that. He's like, you think you the fucker gonna come in? I'm gonna just dust you in front of everybody. So you got to play my key. That's how it's supposed to be.
I guess that respect. Current does kind of work both ways, because there is a huge white audience in America, right? America is like, what is it, 90% Caucasian back then. Now it's a mix of everybody, because a lot of people have come here since then. But back then it was like 90% Caucasian, about 10% African American. So when the white community started to pick up on your music, they blew it up. They put shine on it. But then at the same time, it was like they kind of took it away because they had their own artists. And then when those artists took off, that's what they went to. But at least those artists did give them their flowers. And now he's definitely getting them.
Well, another thing that he did for a generation is they used to have a rope that was across the gymnasium. The black kids, you dance over here. The white kids dance over here at the dances. Segregated sock hops. And this music that Chuck Berry is making, the stuff we're hearing right now. This one right here, Johnny B. Goode.
Oh, yeah.
This is getting the white kids to dance. And the guy that put him on, we're all DJs, so you got to respect the DJ.
Yep.
Alan Freed, he had a radio show on the East Coast. He introduced Chuck Berry to white people. He also did a little payola on Chuck Berry. There's a story about this song right here, where there's three names that are on the get the writing credits for these. It's like Chuck Berry and two other guys. Well, one of the guys he had never heard of. So he goes to this DJ that played his song on the radio and put him on for all these people to start buying his records. And he's like, who is this? What is his name on here? I don't know who this guy is. He's like, oh, it's payola. This guy, he bet on you. And so he gets writing credits on your album because he gets paid. And that's kind of the way things worked. And I know it even worked when I was in the industry in the 90s, late 90s and early 2000s. There was payola. But I had never heard of someone, though, getting their name on writing credits and getting paid just because you're giving a DJ money.
Right. You're sitting there telling this story, I'm sitting there thinking, like, how does that work? Like, I don't see how that happened. That's crazy.
What? Payola?
No, I know all about payola. I'm talking about the writing credit.
Well, that's the deal that these DJs would make. Like, if you want me to play this record and you want me to get it introduced to all these people, well, then my guy's going to have to get taken care of, because he's going to get some money and then it's going to trickle down to me, to the DJ. And then almost like you're betting on the sales, like these guys are putting up some money for the label to help cover some of the expenses. And so they say to themselves, well, I'll give you this money, but I'm going to have to get some points on the record. You're going to have to put my name with writing credits. But payola was, everybody was doing that kind of stuff back then.
You know, it was still legal back then.
Using the artist and then having multiple people get paid on it.
Sweet.
And and the artist just being thankful that they're playing the music and making the money.
If you knew the things I know.
Oh, yeah. different podcasts.
Different podcast.
Yeah.
But back to the story of the rope at the gymnasiums when they'd have the sock hops. This music right here got the white people listening to it, and then they would look at their parents and be like, why? I love Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's black. Why do you have a problem with Chuck Berry?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mm-hmm. Like he makes this music that makes me feel so good. Like Johnny B. Goode, what's your problem? Like this guy Chuck Berry, you could credit him with breaking down social barriers between white and black people.
I just think music is so powerful.
Yeah, 100%.
No music, no barriers broken down.
Yes. Before Chuck Berry, white kids and black kids did not dance together. This is the music that got played on the radio, the power of radio back then. Radio could not be segregated. When you push the button, they couldn't control you in your car what color music you're listening to. Well, when the white kids got a chance to listen to something other than orchestra music and stuff they heard at church, this stuff makes me move. Gene Simmons from Kiss said that this was the first music that made him want to dance.
I told you what that was like, being restricted from music growing up. I was restricted from music growing up. So when I got to the music, I was like, yeah.
You were restricted from music.
Yeah, of course. Mom was not having me listen to certain kinds of music. And back then, you didn't have all these things you could put in your ears to disappear. If you were lucky, if you had a Walkman growing up. I mean, I didn't have the money always for a Walkman. Every now and then I had one and it would break and that was it. No more Walkman.
Right. I feel you.
There was no way to hide what you were listening to. They had the stereo. It was their stereo. Yeah. And they would always pull that shit. My stereo. You're not playing that shit on my stereo.
But what did you listen to or have to listen to?
Just kind of like whatever she would allow me to have or buy me, you know. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot of awesome stuff yet growing up.
Were you allowed to listen to Thriller?
Yeah.
Every kid should be allowed to listen to Thriller.
Things got loose in the 80s. Things got looser in the 80s. But growing up, younger, I didn't. Like growing up younger till I was 70s. About 80, till I was about 8 years old, I really didn't hear too much awesome music.
Damn.
I know. So when you do finally hear it, you're like, yeah. And now I'm a DJ and I love it. I mean, music is everything.
Lucky for me, my dad was a DJ, so he always had records around the house of all kinds of music.
Well, see, I remember starting to go to my mom's friends' parties where they would smoke their marijuana and come out of the room coughing and blowing it around. And then I heard this music. First music was like a Steve Miller Band that just blew my fucking mind. I'm like, what are these sounds coming out of this shit? Mm-hmm. With the rock, and I was just like...
Did you ever feel like, ain't that a bitch? She can listen to this shit and get high, but I can't hear this shit.
Yeah, kind of hypocritical. I mean, yeah. I hate to be disrespectful. Well, I mean,
he was disrespectful.
I don't know. I mean, that's
you
just
don't
how,
have right.
That's
to
just me. How I remember it. You know, I know the music was around, but I don't remember it being like I didn't have access to this kind of music all the time at a very young age.
He obviously wasn't old enough to start smoking pot for another 2 or 3 years.
Or buy
years.
My own stereo system.
Let's hear from Chuck Berry himself. Here he is talking about music that inspired him when he was young.
A lot of it leads into the way that the music came about, and mom and dad singing in the choir and all the choir rehearsals at home, and sort of became a routine thing around our house, music. Well, like I say, I would say the church, the Baptist church, and the hymns that they, you know, because we sang in harmony around home, and it really was instilled in me at a very, very young age.
Started at church with his parents.
Again, sure. Church. I think just church is like all about, you got to really get up in front of people and really let it go. Because the people who are at church, they're really feeling it, and they're getting it. So if you get up there timid, you're just not gonna. It's not gonna work.
Yeah, you got to bring it.
And I think the good thing about starting in a church, let's say, and particularly for an artist, is you learn how to perform in front of people, and the people you're learning to perform in front of. Aren't gonna.
They're a good audience.
Break your soul.
They're a good audience.
Yeah. They're gonna cheer you
on.
Depending
on what church you go to, because
maybe today, but I'm talking back then. Like, I'm pretty sure like people were pretty, especially if he was a young kid going up there and singing.
The 30s.
It was a neighborhood church. Like most of the people that went to your church were probably family members and cousins and people that, because. A lot of families live closer together.
Yeah, I know.
In
the
80s times.
And 90s, shit.
Yeah. No, I'm talking way back in the
50s. Even today, I haven't been to church in, I don't know, the last time I've been to church.
I think the last time I went to church was my cousin's wedding a year after mine.
I'm searching through Chuck Berry facts, and I see one of your faves here. How much was Chuck Berry worth when he died?
Yeah.
Talk to us.
I don't know. Anybody want to guess?
I'll guess. You guys could guess first, because I think I know.
I'm going to go cheers. $10 million.
You saw it.
No, I didn't see it.
He nailed it.
No, I read it was $50 million when he died.
I'm looking right here. It says $10 million.
What's Chuck your source?
Berry. Well, Google. So, like, right when you go,
duh.
Right when you go up to Google, it has that thing where it says people ask, and it has like four questions.
A lot
of the time, I'll just get an answer from there, and it has like kind of like.
My Google is conflicting with your Google.
What does it now, say?
Is that
15?
Liquid? Is that liquid?
Mine says the night before, many St. Louis area bars held a mass toast at 10 p.m. in Chuck Berry's honor. One of Berry's attorneys estimated that his estate was worth $50
million. 50?
Including $17 million in music rights. Berry's music publishing accounted for $13 million of the estate's value.
Hmm.
He also had some real estate. I mean, there was this place called, it's actually started out as a great idea and it turned bad. But Chuck Berry had this Berry Park, he called it.
Uh-oh.
And it was outside of St. Louis, but it was kind of in the country a little bit.
Do you ever go?
No.
This is Rollover Beethoven. Another one of his great songs. It's awesome.
But he started this park really for families to come to and enjoy. It was the very first guitar pool, like a guitar-shaped pool. You know how the Hard Rock will have the guitar-shaped hotel?
Sure.
This is a guitar-shaped pool at this place.
Okay, I'm fine.
And it was open for the families to come camp out, and they would do some concerts and things there. Well, we heard something about the Stones having problems with these biker gangs being security. Remember the show we did on the Stones when they had the...
Yes.
What's the name of that famous biker band? Or biker band? The biker
Angels.
Hell's Angels.
They had a stranglehold on security at these parties. I'm reading about this stuff. Well, at one of these parties at Berry Park, they had an artist that was supposed to play. And he was going to be the headliner. And he didn't get paid by the promoter, so he left. Well, they had to make an announcement. You've been at concerts where it's like, hey, Madonna's late or, well, you know.
So-and-so ain't coming.
Lil Wayne ain't showing up.
Yeah, we're in Fort Myers. That's happened a bunch of times.
So this happened at Berry Park where an artist didn't want to play because he wasn't getting paid. And so the Hell's Angels started busting shit loose, and it got out of control there. To where people got hurt, and it was a bad scene. Nothing to do with Chuck. But then, not long after that, they found out that there were some cameras in the bathrooms.
Oh.
They put cameras in the bathrooms, and some people were alleging that they were trying to film women in the bathroom.
Crop shots.
Yes. Then another thing happened that this actually got him in trouble. This got Chuck in trouble later in his life. He had a young girl, prostitute, that said she was 21, and he brought her to work at the park. Well, come to find out, she was only like 15 years old, and he got put in jail for that.
14. She was 14.
Was she only 14?
Yep.
She was young, yeah. But she told him that she was 21, and so he went to jail for a while. But then when he came back, it was like he came out of jail, and people didn't care. People wanted to still jam out to Chuck Berry. And back then, you could kind of hide stuff like that. Not like now where the internet and everybody could type in everything you've done.
So that's why years later, we see the video we saw the other day.
Oh, yeah. You saw a video of Chuck.
Yes. Chuck was doing something dirty to some poor lady.
she was a prostitute as well. It seemed like he liked to have fun with white women. And one person close to him said that chip on his shoulder, he would like to go out and show the white people, like, watch me. I'm going to take your white women. Like, I saw that on the documentary, that Chuck liked to grab him a white woman to show him what I could do.
It helps that they're very attractive.
And what was a little crazy to me is that his wife and his children, which I appreciate the fact that they stood by the guy. And they said that when he would come home, he was Charles. Chuck Berry was a different person. Like, that was a different... When he was away from the house,
I don't know.
He was different. When he was home, the documentary I watched, that's his son explaining it.
I'm sure.
We never met Chuck Berry, they said. Chuck Berry never came to the house. But Charles was their dad, and when he was around, he was the dad. But when he was out on the road, he was out on the road.
Yeah, that's how you separate the two.
And he stayed married to his wife. She was at his funeral, and she was in this documentary, and she even said it herself.
That motherfucker never pissed on me.
She's like, every time he came home, he was good to me, and he was good to my kids, and he was good to me. What he did on the road, he did on the road, and she was okay with it. So it's like, hey, Chuck, do your thing, Chuck Berry.
Think about it. While he was out on the road doing all the crazy fuck shit, like, she was at home enjoying all the spoils and the riches that he was attaining. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Why would she care? Like, she got to, you know, raise her kids the way she wanted to. That's pretty.
Yeah, as long as you can look at it like that, that is the way to look at it.
I'm sure that's how she did. Like, what could she? What else could she do about it?
It's a rockin'.
Divorce wasn't really a thing till the mid '80s.
This is around and around.
It was a different time. Different
it was.
Time.
It really was.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They do say, I'm reading here, Maybelline took them 36 takes, but the other three songs that they knocked out, they banged them right out. So Maybelline took them 36
just
takes.
Just like a stripper.
Just like he did them prostitute white women.
Big inspirations for.
Hey, this next one's for you. Hey, Pedro.
Hey, Pedro.
Ah,
hey, Pedro.
See, he had love. He had love for the brown people.
They say he would play the guitar like a piano. You know how Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard, how they like slam, slam, slam the keys, slam, 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 like. He would do that with the guitar. You like hear that almost like crashing on keys. He would even say that to him, it was much easier to crash the keys on a string than to crash them on a piano. And, you know, he had his own style, almost taking that piano style and bringing it to the guitar.
Yeah, I love it when he does the shit that goes like.
That was a whole new sound.
I love that. You usually get a strum sound or a do 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 from a guitar, but he was nailing those notes just like, you know, in a almost
in them eighths.
Yeah,
the eighth notes.
Yeah,
that's hard to do with a guitar.
They even immortalize it, of course, in Back to the Future when. He's like, hey, Chuck, you looking for that new sound? I think I found it. And he's playing his song.
That, that made right? that, yeah, that made that famous again. Like,
that's his song he's playing.
Yeah, that introduced a lot of people in the 80s to that song. And there is one conflict, though, with that scene.
Do tell.
It was 1955 at the dance. And the Gibson 355 didn't come out until 1958.
The guitar.
So okay, Michael cool. J. Fox was playing a Gibson 355, which didn't come out for about 3 more years. So they were able to make the DeLorean go back into the future, and they were somehow able to make a Gibson 355.
He might have brought it with him.
Transport back 3 years.
Boom! Losers. Internet.
How do you know that for sure? I mean, like, can you tell by, like, the guitar?
You can
like,
tell by the guitar and the year that it came out.
The internet can clearly tell. Oh, I think that's us. We are the
guitars. Well, you guys know guitars that well. I don't. So, like, for, like, the average Joe, I'm sure they had no fucking clue what, you know, what that was. But that's very interesting.
My neighbor he moved away, but he made guitars. And he was, like, a master guitar maker. There's a name for it, but might be master guitar maker. But anyways.
one name.
They know every. He could look at a guitar, man, from across the street and tell you the make, the model, and the year it came
out.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
There's also these legendary stories when you talk about Chuck Berry's gear. He played on the Gibson guitar, the classic blues Gibson guitar, the 350 and the 355 as it evolved with the way he played. But when you talk about his instruments, he really didn't tour with the band. From everything I've researched, he would make sure that he had a rider where the band had to be a part of this AFM, the American Federation of Musicians. They had to be a part of this group of people. A union is what it was. And
I like it.
They had to check all these boxes. And the deal was, most of the shows he was playing back then, he wanted $9,000 in cash in a brown paper bag. And he wanted the amp to be set up right. And he would travel with his guitar, but the band had to be able to stay in the pocket. And he would find them. If his amp didn't sound right or the drummer couldn't stay in the pocket, he would find them. And all the promoters in this video I watched, they joked around. The old story is he would ask for $9,000 in a brown paper bag, but the promoter knew bring 10. He's really $10,000 cash money in a brown paper bag, because Chuck's going to tell you that you didn't dial in this amp right, and this and this guy played out of the pocket. And this guy ain't playing in key. So Chuck had a way about him, man, this guy. He had a fire inside of him. And he kind of had that bravado attitude, but people didn't fuck with Chuck because he was Chuck Berry.
Is that what happened at that concert after with the Hell's Angels, and then Chuck Berry came in and saved the day because they didn't want to mess with Chuck?
Well, from what I read about that, Chuck didn't have a whole lot to do with it. He had great intentions for that park to be somewhere where you could bring your kids to swim.
Oh, I see.
You could camp out. You could put on concerts. He was really an innovator when you think about it. I mean, think about it. I'm opening up a park in the early 1960s, mid-1960s for children to come swim at. He also opened up a teen club. If Memphis knows about this or not, but his music translated with teenagers and young kids. Pop, rock and roll. Well, he opened up, once he became famous and he had a couple hit records, he went back to St. Louis and opened up his own, teen club, which was very popular in St. Louis back in those days.
I bet it was a lot like American Bandstand.
It was called something like that, Bandstand.
Blueberry Hill.
No, well, that was another thing. That was a band that he had. He called him Blueberry Bill.
But no, the place you're talking about is
called
Blueberry
Hill. Well, that's the record,
fellas.
That's the record.
It is.
Yeah. The place you're talking about is called Blueberry Hill.
That last song was called Blues for Hawaiians.
He had a teen club, though, called something Bandstand.
American Bandstand.
No, that was gone.
Here it is. It was called Club way. Bandstand on Grand Avenue, the Teenage Club. That's what I'm reading right here.
On the north side.
A teenage club.
Yeah. Well, he's from the north side of the city, so it makes sense to put one over by where he was.
Those oldies records, man. The
shit's funk, man. Look, we delved in on that one.
That was cool.
Yeah, Chuck Berry, man. St. Louis is on. Represent, man.
Innovative with that guitar, man. He just amazing. Sounds great. So clean.
Yeah, and the fact that he played at the White House for multiple presidents. The guy lived to 90. He influenced so many people. And really took blues music, jazz music, soul music, and intertwined them into rock and roll as we know today. Amazing.
Awesome.
I became a huge fan of Chuck's after learning more about him. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of Them Vinyl Boys. We're brought to you by Factor Meals. I know everybody wants to. I got some Factor Meals in the fridge if you guys are hungry.
Sure.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I'll heat them up. They'll be ready in 2 minutes or less.
Delicious.
And they come packed with protein, and they're never frozen, always fresh. Go to our link and save 50% on your next order. It is factormeals.com/vinyl, because we are the Vinyl Boys. The name kind of works out. It's factormeals.com/vinyl. We are Them Vinyl Boys. Keep the needle in the groove and keep it groovy, baby. Until next time, we'll see ya. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Have fun, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.